There you go.
Well, thank you very much. My name is Jim Kelly. I'm an alcoholic. And I want to thank everybody for being here tonight, and I want to thank the committee and everyone else who made it possible. I am a satisfied customer of Alcoholics Anonymous. Is anybody a satisfied customer of Alcoholics Anonymous out here? Hold on to that. That's really important, right? Because if we're here, we're just kind of marking time. We're missing out on all that AA has to offer us. So you've heard a couple of speakers. Our last speaker was fantastic. Give her another round of applause. You know, the funny thing is people are convinced that miracles don't exist, and yet I see a whole room full of miracles right here. Every one of us is not supposed to be here. Everyone in this room is a miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous, and only because we have suffered enough to let this thing happen to us. I had a sponsor who used to talk about the spiritual value of suffering. I wanted to hit him in the face. Spiritual value of suffering? Who wants to hear about that? And what he meant was that each and every alcoholic who gets sober in AA has had to take every drink and every drug to get them to a place where they can get sober in AA. We've had to suffer enough to allow this miracle to come to us, to allow the grace of God to act in our lives. And the funny thing is that grace was always there, and I didn't want it until I did. And thank God AA was around when I wanted it. My very first AA meeting happened when I was 7 years old. I went to my very first meeting when my mother was sober about 4 months in AA. She got sober in 1971, and on a summer afternoon, she had no babysitter to pull me off onto, so she brought me to the Sobriety Unlimited group in Mount Vernon. So it's a hot July day, and the Sobriety Unlimited group was this clubhouse group that you had to go up a set of narrow stairs to get up this dark, dank room full of old men smoking cigarettes, drinking coffee out of styrofoam cups. And my mother, being the good German woman that she was, told me, do not talk to anybody, don't look anybody in the face, don't touch anything, don't ask any questions, just sit there and shut up. And I was not about to defy that woman. So we walk into the room, and in the far corner is a fully decorated Christmas tree. It's July, it's about 80 degrees, and there's a Christmas tree in this room. So I want to ask a question, and she's, shut up, don't talk. So the meeting starts, it goes on, everybody shares, everybody gets up, says the Lord's Prayer, and then my mother says, all right, ask the question. And I said, Ma, why is there a fully decorated Christmas tree in the room? And she said, the people of AA believe that sobriety is a gift and every day is Christmas. And it's true. It certainly is true. Every day is a gift for the alcoholic who doesn't pick up a drink. And I love the theme of this convention. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Now we read those words over and over again in AA, and they're so powerful, but we hear them over all the time, and they start to lose their savor. They start to lose their flavor. When you read those words carefully, they're foretelling this wonderful thing that happens to the alcoholic who throws himself completely to this simple program. And I see that there's a lot of enthusiasm in this room tonight. Throwing yourself into the simple program, just as hard as we did when we were drinking. I can't help but have a fantastic life if I treat this as the thing that is most important to me in my life. That doesn't mean that I go to meetings 9 days a week, 3 times a day. I don't. I have a nice, well-rounded life today because of throwing myself into this simple program. So one of the things my mother used to talk about a lot is that God was crazy about her, and God's crazy about me. And I know that for a fact. I have this fantastic life today. It's fantastic on every measure. Why? Because I surrendered to Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't say to you, I want to rewrite the big book. It's an old, the language though, it's awful, and those old men didn't know what the hell they're talking about. I wasn't here to begin debating with those who had gone before me. And it's important that I came here in that condition. So what brought me to AA? I grew up in northern Westchester County, and the last month of my drinking, I was drunk every day. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous on August 8th of 1980. I was 17 years old, and I've not ever gone back out to find out what I already know. That I'm an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. I'm an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. I can't cure myself any more than I can lift myself off the floor. So I spent that last month of drinking every single day. I just graduated high school by the skin of my teeth. I had a promising appointment to a military academy, which was taken away because my grades had fallen off so badly. And I was going to go to a state university where the major was drinking. SUNY Oswego, where you drink from West Bridge Street to East Bridge Street. Hope you make it. That was what I signed up for. At the time, I was working in a nursing home, making a lot of money, and going to the bar and drinking every night, and in blackouts, driving home, passed out on the couch. So that last week of my drinking, my mom and my stepfather went down to Long Island to vacation. My brother and sister were at camp. I have a big pile of money and an apartment all to myself. Anybody guess what I did? I threw parties all week long and I stayed drunk the entire time. And the night that my mom and my stepfather were coming home, I cleaned that place like it had never been cleaned before. Like that show CSI. I mean, there was no evidence whatsoever that anything went on in that apartment. I went to a pool party. It was a friend's pool party, and it would start at 8 o'clock. I got there at 6, just to help make sure the keg was running smoothly. I was drunk before the party started. It's a hot August night. I never went in the pool. The only time I left the keg was to make room for more beer. I mean, that was the kind of alcoholic I was. I drank for effect. I didn't have the pinky up, and I wasn't drinking out of crystal mugs or anything like that. So around midnight, I start my way home. I had a beautiful Pontiac Firebird, and I'm driving back to Yorktown Heights, and I pass out of the wheel doing about 50 miles an hour, and I hit a telephone pole. And how I didn't kill myself, I don't know. I smashed the windshield with my head, but nothing else really happened. The lights went on in a house nearby, and I went over to ask to use the telephone. And my mom answered, and I said, I've been out drinking, I wrecked the car, maybe I go to AA. Just like that. The cursing and screaming that came out of her over the phone are still hanging in midair somewhere. She sent my stepfather over. Back then, they weren't giving out DWIs like they do today. I went home with him, more yelling and screaming. I passed out of the wheel, passed out in my bed at about 1 o'clock in the morning. And already, when I woke up the next day, my mind was telling me that I was young, I made a couple mistakes, and be different next time. Anybody ever say that? So, right then, my mother walked in the room with a list of names and numbers of family friends who were in AA. And she said, I'm not going to be your AA taxi service. If you want to get sober, you're going to have to pick up the phone and call and ask for help. And I have since learned that the most important thing we could do for the alcoholic is not cheat them out of an opportunity to ask for help. It's the hardest thing an alcoholic can ever do, but they need to do it. And I called one of the guys up, told him I wanted to go to a meeting. It was a Sunday night. He said, I'll pick you up. We're going to go to the Bedford Village group. And I walked in, and they noticed I was new to AA somehow. Now picture this. I had a pasty white complexion, a Fu Manchu mustache, and scraggly hair. I looked like I hadn't seen daylight in years. And they picked me out like, oh, this is a new one, let's go after him. The big thing that happened was they taught me how to identify with speakers. They used to say in AA, identify, don't compare. Because you can compare yourself right out of the rooms of AA rather quickly. But somehow we have something in common here called the disease of alcoholism, and its common manifestations are well known to all of us. Living on the basis of fear, low self-esteem, not being able to get ahead in life, not being able to do much of anything without a drink in our hand. They told me I should try to identify with people who talked about these things. Not that they drank in certain bars or what have you, because I didn't do that. And at that first meeting, I identified with the people who spoke, who were much older than myself. And I knew I was part of this thing, that I had something in common with each and every one of you. One of those guys became my sponsor. My first sponsor's nickname was Jimmy the Hat. I have to this day not seen him wear a hat, but they call him Jimmy the Hat. Still sober today down at the Jersey Shore. And he started to bring me through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, through the Big Book. And I'm grateful that he told me that the Big Book was the book that got more people sober than anything else in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's right. Let's hear it for the Big Book. My home group is New York City's original Big Book Step Study called the Into Action Group. If you happen to find yourself on the Upper East Side on a Wednesday night at 6:30, I want you all to come on down. It's a fantastic meeting. All at once. You have to buy your own coffee, though. So, and the group I belonged to at that time was a military-style AA group. They were not about to pat me on the head and say, come on, Jimmy, let's get sober. But what they did was they demonstrated the spiritual principles of Alcoholics Anonymous for me to see. And I'm grateful that they showed me by their example. You know, you could tell an alcoholic not too much, but you could show them an awful lot. I'd much rather see a sermon than hear one any day. And to me, that's the strongest way we can carry this message. Not by talking and talking, but showing people what sobriety looks like, right? The smiles, the zest for life, right? The things that were foreign to us are now common amongst us. Thank God. Thank God. So I joined that group. He brought me through the steps. I go away to school. I start a Big Book step study at school. And I've been carrying the message ever since. Every opportunity I get to carry the message, I will do it. So for the last 20 years, each morning, I send out an email. It's a Big Book study email. We cover the entire book over the course of 40 posts. About 10,000 people get it all around the world. And I get to connect with my fellow alcoholic first thing in the morning when I post that thing. All right? I converse with people all over the world in AA. Part of the reason why I've gotten to speak so often in Europe is because of just that. And I apply spiritual principles to the work I do. How do you do that? I work in New York real estate. How do you do that? Right? Not like some guys I know who think they know what they're doing, but I get to treat people the way they want to be treated. They get an honest deal out of me every time I make a deal with them. They know exactly what to expect. I carry these principles in all departments of my life. This is not a hobby. This is the way I live today. And I make that distinction because there's a lot of people who are auditing Alcoholics Anonymous, loitering with the intent to get sober. This takes my active participation. Active participation. I need to be in this thing. And the funny thing is that every bit that I have invested in AA has paid back 100-fold. 100-fold. Now, I'm not going to say that everything's perfect in my life. It's not. Life is not perfect. But the beautiful thing about being sober in Alcoholics Anonymous is you have an opportunity to help somebody else. Not because you're perfect in AA, but because you have made mistakes and overcome them. That's the message. That's the message. If this is not perfect synonymous. Perfect people are the most boring people on the face of the earth. Right? I'd much rather hear a good story than hear about how perfect somebody is. But you know, the one thing that long-term sobriety gives you is the perspective to step back from something and say, I could be a spectator instead of a participant in this today. I don't need to be involved in whatever insanity that's going on. It's real freedom to be able to do just that. So today I get to split my time between Bronxville, New York, and East Quogue, Long Island, in the Hamptons. It's a beautiful place. I own a house on the beach. And I get to go out there every weekend. There's some fantastic meetings out there. And I get to walk along the shore, and every so often I'll pick something up out of the surf. And this one time I looked at and found this rock. I found this rock, it was wet, but it seemed really nice and round. And so I take it home, dry it out, and then I notice a little flecks of mica in it. You know, and it takes drying out the alcoholic to really see the value of the person that dwells within. Right? But if I really want to know what this person really is like, got to dry that out, and I got to start working on the steps. Changing the person we bring to Alcoholics Anonymous so that we don't have to pick up a drink one day at a time. Now, this rounded stone is really a great metaphor for sobriety. I came here with lots of sharp edges. Anybody meet somebody new in AA who's got sharp edges to them? Well, I was that guy. And as time has come on, I have been able to round off these edges and be a little bit more approachable and help people to feel good about what they're doing instead of criticizing them. And the end result is I feel good within my skin. And do we have a techno problem? No. We're gonna collect money. So I get to be a rounded stone today, and I get to be a powerful example of what sobriety looks like. Hey, some days it's not pretty. Some days it's not pretty. A flat tire can really set the tone for the day. And fortunately, not too many of those days happen. So today I manage a 25-story office building in Soho. My assistant is a member of this fellowship, which is fantastic. We make a great team. Whenever the phone is ringing, it's not, oh shit, what do they want? It's how can I be helpful? Right? So my prayer today is, God, place me where I may be of maximum usefulness to you and my fellows. So I love the fact that we read How It Works and we read the 12 steps. When step 12 was originally written, it was a little bit different. It said, having had a spiritual experience as the result of this course of action, we tried to carry this message to others, especially alcoholics. And the message to me is that anybody can walk on water here in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's not too hard. It's not too hard. But get out there with the rest of the gang, it's a little tougher to practice tolerance, kindliness, and love. So tomorrow I'm going to have an opportunity to chair a workshop on the 11th step. And one of my sponsees loves to bring up this little piece of it, where it says in the big book, were we kind and loving toward all? I've not yet said that as a yes once. It's something that we could shoot for. You know, the spiritual experience and my time in Alcoholics Anonymous makes me think of the fact that I'm on a journey. And each day, I get to go half the distance between me and my destination. Now, how long does it take to get to that destination if you cover half the distance each day? You never get there. That was one of my father's favorite brain teasers. How long does it take? You never get there. It's about the journey, it's not about the destination. I've prattled on long enough. I'm one of these guys who prides himself on the fact that brevity is not a defect of character. I believe that I can carry a message and make it vital and in a few short minutes. You know, there's many other things that we can go on, and I prefer not to insert my ego into things just like this. Thank you very much.